We claim it is important that you know what you believe. And so each worship service, we have an affirmation of faith at Daleville Christian Church. This one is from Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. Be strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. For He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The reading of God's Word for today is from that portion of the Scripture called the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 30, where Jesus said, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His holy word. This is a topic I have wanted to teach a whole Bible class on. The topic is nature, or the natural world of the Bible, the plants, the animals, the geography. Now, the natural world of the Bible is a very broad topic, and I find it a fascinating topic that gives insight into God's Word. But I've narrowed the topics down for the sermons and in this sermonette. The Bible is teaching its message in the natural world of the Bible. And one reason I love this topic, I've talked with you many times about difficulties in translation of some words. I've mentioned times when the New International Version, which is our Pew Bible, I've mentioned when I think it has done a good job translating a word or phrase. Other times I'll say the King James Version is spot on target with its translation. And so when Jesus says, "Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow." The King James Version says, "Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field." Even some different translations may lead us to understand what Jesus is talking about. Many of you may expect to find a lily of the field, thinking of the Easter lily. But a close examination will demonstrate at least the lilies that are usually thought of do not grow in the fields of Israel, but other flowers that are not what we technically know as lilies do grow in the fields, and we can see them yet today. But I wanted to talk today about animals. We turn to the prophet Isaiah, and notice that he mentions animals. Animals that are mentioned in Deuteronomy, and in another book of history, 1 Samuel. There are several references to these animals in the Bible. In the book of the prophet Isaiah, we read a prophecy of warning and a prophecy of salvation. But first, a little backstory. Before we read this, when Isaiah spoke, Israel was a divided kingdom, north and south, Israel and Judah. They were under a fairly constant threat of war and invasion from their big bullying neighbors, Assyria and Egypt, Babylon. In addition, there was long-standing animosity with neighbor nations and peoples like the Moabites, and Israel and Judah didn't trust each other either. So to this situation the prophet speaks. The prophets were usually concerned because God's people were frequently not interested in God. The people were not interested in their God, the Heavenly Father, giver of every good gift. So the prophet makes clear a warning from God in chapter 32 of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah states, "In little more than a year, you who feel secure will tremble. The grape harvest will fail, and the harvest of fruit will not come. Tremble and shudder, you daughters who feel secure. Strip off your fine clothes and wrap yourselves in rags." This could mean that there is, at the present time, a sense of peace or complacency, but that will be replaced with grief and mourning. A person in mourning wears sackcloth. Strip off your fine clothes and wrap yourself in rags. Why there will be grief and mourning, we'll figure out in a moment. But the prophet goes on in verse 12, "Beat your breasts for the pleasant fields, for the fruitful vines." Again, a reference to grieving and mourning. Thumping the chest is a sign of grief. And soon the people will mourn the loss of their fields and the loss of the harvest. Verse 13, "And for the land of my people, a land overgrown with thorns and briars." So the blessings they have enjoyed will be replaced with loss. Thorns and briars suggest two things. One, there isn't anyone left to work the land. And secondly, in addition to that, the land itself will not produce fruit. Isaiah continues, "Yes, mourn for all houses of merriment and for this city of revelry. The fortress will be abandoned, the noisy city deserted. Citadel and watchtower will become a wasteland forever, the delight of donkeys, a pasture for flocks." The delight of donkeys, a pasture for flocks. He's referring to the wild donkey, the onager. We'll talk about that more in a moment. But this is bad. The city that is glad now will be desolate. If the fortress is abandoned, that would mean that even putting up a defense against enemy armies has been deemed useless and futile. Deserted suggests that the people have left the land of their inheritance, or, as would actually come to pass in history, the people were removed from their land forcibly by the superior army of the Babylonians and the Assyrians. And you must understand the ancient economics. If you don't have your land, you can't grow your food. It isn't like you can have your grain shipped in from another country. That's not going to happen. Without your land, you are a beggar, a wanderer, a nomad, and the prophet says that people will be gone from the land so long that only wild beasts will live there. There, when the prophet speaks in that moment, are parties and complacency, and soon there is going to be desolation and desertion. No people will be left standing in the fields or the towns or the cities. The places of the people will be abandoned. The wild beasts, the wild donkey, the onager, and the ibex. Isaiah mentions the onager, but the ibex is a wild animal also. The wild goat. We read about it in 1 Samuel chapter 24. You see, you and I have seen small wild animals of all kinds, but the animals the Bible mentions are large mammals. Large mammals don't usually come into a town or city, but if no one has lived on the land for years, then the land becomes a haunt for wild animals. They can roam freely and without fear of humanity because the people have vanished. Friends, it's one thing to have a white-tailed deer in your backyard or woods. It's quite another to have that same white-tailed deer roaming freely through your garage or your yard. That would mean that you haven't lived in your house in a very long time. Often when the Bible is telling us about the wild animals, it means something bad has happened to the people. But having seen a vision of desolation, the prophet Isaiah offers a vision of hope. The prophet speaks a prophecy of hope, a prophecy of salvation. Verse 15, same chapter 32, "The citadel and watchtower will become a wasteland forever, the delight of donkeys, a pasture for flocks, till the Spirit is poured on us from on high." Till the Spirit is poured on us from on high, says the prophet Isaiah. God's Spirit is apparently lacking with God's people, but when the Spirit is poured on the people from on high, then the whole situation changes, says the prophet. He goes on to say, "And the desert becomes a fertile field, and the fertile field seems like a forest. The Lord's justice will dwell in the desert. His righteousness live in the fertile field. The fruit of that righteousness will be peace. Its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in peaceful dwelling places and secure homes and undisturbed places of rest. How blessed they will be, sowing your seed by every stream, letting your cattle and donkeys range free, letting your cattle and donkeys range free." Would mean there's no one there to raid or steal your donkeys or your cattle, your herds and your flocks. The wild donkey will be replaced by the farmer's own donkeys. The wild donkey will be replaced by the domestic donkey. The onager is replaced by the domestic donkey, the Syrian donkey. The prophet Isaiah is saying that with God's Spirit, the people dwell in security. Not a false security, the one they were partying in. That security, that false security that the people had was taken away, because it wasn't based on the Spirit of God. But with the Spirit of God, they'll have a real security, which will last when God's Spirit is poured out on the people. Amen.